morning, Pisgah. It is so good to be here with you today and sharing with you. I'm so delighted that you have invited me to be your speaker. I love the Pathfinders. I love youth and young people, and it's such a privilege to be asked by you to be your speaker for today. I also want to thank Pastor Baxter for allowing it to happen and calling and inviting me. Thank you for his kindness. I tell you, this morning, I had the toughest time getting on the site, but God made a way and that I could be here today. And so grateful. All of you young people, the way you led out, it was excellent. So glad to see that, and welcome to your wonderful Pathfinder Day. So let's go to work. Turn with me back into the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. I'm going to read it this time from the New King James Version to give you a different, slightly different perspective in a language that may be more known to you today. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. And it says, likewise, you young people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Then verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the grace, the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen. Let us pray. God, what a word you have for us today. Lord, we need to hear it. The enemy fought hard to try and prevent this word from coming forth this morning. But God, you reign supreme. I pray that as I preach, that they will not hear me, but God, that they will hear your words. I pray that you will cover these young people, God, as they receive the word, as us older people receive the word, that our hearts and minds will be changed. God, help us to love you more. So bless us as you speak to us now and give us power to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I was with some friends some time ago, and we were discussing how we love pets. Some of you may have your own pets. And she was telling me how her two little dogs, her and her husband has two little white dogs, the cutest little dogs, and they always jump on the bed with them at night. So when they go to bed, the little dogs would jump on the covers and sleep on the bed with them. Then they proceeded to ask me if I had saw this story. It's a true story. If I'd seen this story in the news, there was a woman who had a pet snake, not into reptiles. So anyway, she had this pet snake, right? And the woman loved her snake so much that the snake slept in the bed with her. Oh my goodness, I'm not into that either. Anyway, the pet snake slept in the bed with this woman. And the snake, you know, she fed the snake, took care of the snake. And if you know anything about snakes, snakes are carnivores, which means they eat meat. All right. And they eat meat according to their particular species. So I looked that up. Sometimes, you know, they eat rodents, you know, rats, squirrels, you know, they feed them, those kind of things. They feed them birds or insects. They eat frogs, maybe fish. And sometimes they eat earthworms, you know, the things that are in the ground that they crawl upon, and they eat those. So the woman is feeding them all of these things at the snake. And so the snake is getting bigger and bigger as it's, you know, sleeping with her at night. And it's feeling the warmth of her body as the blood flows through her body. And so the snake is thriving from that. Well, over some time, the woman saw that her snake was shrinking. It was getting smaller and smaller, and it was looking emaciated, like it was dying. And so she was very concerned about her snake because she loved her pet snake. And so she takes the snake to the vet, and the vet looks at the snake and it evaluates the snake. And the vet comes back to the woman and he says, there's absolutely nothing wrong with your snake. The issue is that the snake was fasting because it was preparing to eat you. And the thing about the snake is, when snakes eat, they eat whatever they're eating whole. They swallow it whole. And so the snake here was fasting so that it could eat the woman's entire body at one time. Now, if this story is not freaking you out, something's wrong, all right? So I was reading Revelation chapter 9, and it says, the great dragon was cast out, this old serpent of old called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth. His angels were cast out with him. You see, Satan is also known as a snake, a serpent, a dragon. The devil, even Satan, the names we know of, he's also the deceiver of the brethren and the father of lies. The spirit of prophecy says that Satan also uses instruments that may take his message, right? That may do his bidding. The same way he used the serpent of old in the Garden of Eden, today he uses the members of the human family. In other words, Satan uses us to make sure that his plans are taken forward. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at this pet snake and I'm freaked out about how this snake pretended to be her pet friend. It was lying beside her and cuddling up to her as if one to love her and mean her no harm. Yet, at the appointed time, the snake was planning to devour this woman whole. The message that I want you young people to receive today, and all of us as adults, I want us to understand that Satan lies in wait as a friend, as if he was a friend, only to devour us at the time when we think we are safe. Now, I want to say that again because I want you to grasp the plan of the enemy. Satan lies in wait as if he is a friend, only to devour us at the time when we think we are safe. My sermon today is entitled, Beware of the Snake. Beware of the Snake. When we look here in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we look at the pretext, in the first four verses, Peter is writing to multiple churches, and he's writing to the elders to encourage them to teach the people and to lead them in a loving way. Not in a lording over the people just to be a dictator, right? He was to lead over, they were to lead over the people as overseers. They were to lead not by compulsion, but to lead willingly. They were to lead not from dishonest gain or for dishonest gain, but they were to be examples of Christ. And he says, and when you do this, when Jesus comes, you will receive your wonderful crown of glory. So here, when we go to verse 5 of our scripture text, we see that Peter says to the young people, likewise, you young people. Likewise, in other words, he's saying to you as well. And he says to them, submit yourselves to your elders. Mm-hmm. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. So what was Peter saying to the young people? He was saying to them, submit yourselves to your elders. And then the elders, submit yourselves to one another, because there are things that we can learn from each other. Amen. Young people can teach us all about this technology. Like when I was having my issues this morning, my voice could have helped me. And so there's things we can learn from the old elders, and then there are things that us young people, right, can learn from our elders, for we're ever growing. Now, why is Peter saying this? It is because oftentimes, as young people, we think we don't need any advice. Oh, help me, Jesus. We think we know everything. We don't feel that we can learn anything. Uh-huh. We might be 12, 13, 15, 17. Come on, help me, parents. You know what I'm talking about. You're trying to teach your children, and they feel that they know everything already. Mm-hmm. And they may have knowledge about a social media, how to get on all of the sites. They may have knowledge about what's happening in the day with the slang and the music. And you may know all of these things, young people, right? But there are certain things that you don't know because you have not experienced life. And so Peter is saying, humble yourselves, right? Because when you humble yourself, you can listen to God. God can use you. God can lead you. But when you don't humble yourself, then pride settles in. And God says he resists those who are proud, right? He resists the proud because he cannot teach the proud anything, right? And so he says he wants us to humble ourselves, because when we humble ourselves, God gives us grace. Now, why is that important? Because God wants to always teach us something. As young people, we go in a wrong direction. We think we know the right way. We think we know what to do, what's best for our lives. Hey, I can hang out with this person. I can do this thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with it? That's what my boys ask me. What's wrong with that, right? And even when I try to explain them, they still don't get it, right? Because they think that they have all knowledge. But if we humble ourselves, then we are able to listen to our elders, right? We're able to listen to those who can teach us something. Amen. They can teach us how to walk in the right way. So then Peter is saying, when you humble yourself, then God will give you grace. Uh-huh. And at the appointed time, God will even exalt you. Then he says, then cast your cares upon God, for he cares for you. Now, I want to pause here just for a moment, because oftentimes we think that young people don't have troubles. And I want to share with you young people that there are times you need God. And you need to know that you can cast your cares upon him. You can talk to him about your problems, about your issues, about those things that are bothering you. You can talk to God. You don't have to hold those things in. I know young people who are experiencing grief because they're losing loved ones. They're losing friends, right? Mm-hmm. There are issues that they encounter at school, whether it's bullying or peer pressure, right? Sometimes even in the church, right? And so young people, God is saying, you can bring your issue to me. You don't have to hold it. And what I've learned in life is oftentimes when we have hurt and pain, we hold those things inside, and they shape, the pain shapes the choices that we make later. Oh my goodness, you wonder why, you know, your children are making certain decisions, why they're going out there getting involved in these things. It is because of the pain that we have. And so Peter's trying to tell of the church, listen, cast your cares on God. He cares for you. And so as we move to verse 6, this is where we will focus our time today. Peter says to them in this letter, be sober, be vigilant, right? In other translations, he's saying to the people, be on your alert, all right? Be disciplined, stay alert, watch out, and be cautious at all times. Why was Peter telling the people that? He says, because the devil, your adversary, right? He's not your friend. He's not your buddy. He's not your pet snake. The dragon walks around seeking. You know, when you're seeking, you're lurking, you're looking, seeking whom he may devour, seeking whom he may consume, seeking whom he may destroy, seeking whom he may eat whole. I was watching this documentary one night on the Discovery Channel. And I can't take the Discovery Channel. It's violence on the Discovery Channel, right? And there was a lion sitting under a tree, and he was watching this little deer or gazette, you know, they all look alike, I don't know which it was, just bouncing and prancing all around. And the lion was just looking at it, just watching. And the gazette or the deer did not know that the lion was there. And at some point, it actually looked in the direction of the lion as if it heard something, as if it saw something, and it paused. And then when it thought it was safe, did you hear what I said? When the gazette thought it was safe, then he started to dance and prance around again. And the lion just continued to watch it for just a second. And then the lion dashes out after the gazette as if it was running 10 to 20 miles per hour, right? Or even faster after that gazette. And it catches it and it kills the gazette and devours it. What do we learn from that, right? When we think we are safe, that's when Satan prowls on us. You see, as young people, oftentimes we are into our games, right? We are into our friends, right? Our friends that might be from the neighborhood, they may be from school, they may even be from church, right? And sometimes us young people, we get into stuff. Truth be told, parents, listen, we get into stuff. They get into stuff that maybe they feel like their parents don't even know about. Things they watch, things they listen to, right? And even sometimes pathfinders, you know, when you get above 16, when you can't be a pathfinder anymore, you're no longer a counselor. And oftentimes some young people are just waiting till they can leave church. Like, ooh, when I get 18, I'm out of here. I'm going to do my own thing. Right, I have two teenage boys. I know what they think, right? And so oftentimes you are into your games and you're into your phone and you don't desire AY. Sometimes you don't desire youth prayer meetings if your church have that. And the things of God become boring to you. Oh, help me in this place. They become boring. And oftentimes your parents have to sometimes take those things from you so that there would be some type of discipline, right? Some type of self-control, some type of balance in your life. And what's happening is that the snake is sleeping beside you. The snake is lying beside you, and you think everything is okay. And the snake is just waiting until you feel so comfortable that he then attacks and desires to swallow you whole. But I'm so grateful that as I study, as I learn the character of God, Jesus is the good shepherd, and he watches over us sheep. And when we leave the sheepfold, right, when we leave the pen and we wander off, we have a shepherd church that goes after us. I was reading in Luke chapter 15, and it says the good shepherd would leave the 99, right? And he goes after even the one sheep who has left and gone out on his own. The sheep has gone out even on bad territory, right? But the shepherd would go after the sheep. Now, the interesting thing about the shepherd is that the shepherd, when it finds the sheep, because it will continue until he finds the sheep. When he finds the sheep, the shepherd doesn't chastise the sheep. Oh, help me in this place. The shepherd picks up the sheep. It doesn't say, you know better. I tried to tell you what to do. You knew better than to do this. The shepherd picks up the sheep, and then the shepherd wipes off the wounds of the sheep, because the sheep may have gotten hurt, right? It may be bloody and bleeding. And the shepherd washes off the sheep, carries the sheep back to safety, and then the shepherd rejoices. Oh my goodness. You ought to be excited that even when you make mistakes, we have a shepherd, thank you, Jesus, who loves us so much, who will leave the safety of the 99 and go where you have gone into the bad territory and rescue us, amen, until we return. That's why the prayers of the righteous are important. That's why the prayers of your pastor, the prayers of your mother, the prayers of your grandmother, young people, the prayers of the righteous, of the saints, as we pray, Jesus will continue to search. That ought to give you some hope, parents, those of you who are praying for your children. And so as God looks, God knows that Satan is seeking to devour. So the next few verses is as if God gives us a protection plan. God tells us what to do in order to protect ourselves from the serpent. And so the first thing we see in this same verse is that God says, resist the devil. Well, how do you resist the devil? You oppose him, right? You make choices towards God versus choices away from God. Not choices towards the peer pressure, or choices towards your even internal lust and desire, right? We have to stand like Daniel, who purposed in his heart that he would not sin against God. Amen? Daniel purposed. And so when you oppose God, it's making up in your mind that you are going to follow God. Now, you can't do this in your own strength. I want to let you know, we are not strong enough. We are weak. Amen? So we need a Savior. We need a God to help us. I was reading James chapter 4, and it says, therefore, submit to God, right? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So in other words, when I submit to God, when I tune into God, right, I start reading his word. I start abiding in Christ. I start remaining in him. I'm intentional to stay in God, right? As I do that, right, the devil flees from me, because the Spirit of God is all around me, so that the devil cannot penetrate me with his temptations. Remember, the devil can't make you do anything. He can just lure you, right, with the temptations and keep drawing you in. But when I have the Spirit of God on me and encouraging me and influencing me, the devil will get up and flee from me. Now, that's important, because as we call on the name of the Lord, God help me, right? God will come to the rescue. And that's for all of us, because we are no match for the devil. Let me explain how. Let me explain why. Adam and Eve, the perfect creatures, made in perfection, they're communing with God. They're walking with God himself every day. And as they are walking with God, Eve gets distracted, right? And they don't have the power to resist the devil, because Satan was cuddling up to them, conniving, right? Making her at this time feel that maybe she can't even trust God. When God told them, look, of all the fruits in this garden, you can eat all of these fruit, but this one fruit from this one tree, you cannot eat from the one. I want you to understand me, young people. God says from the one not to eat from, right? He told Adam and Eve, but you can have all of this. Why am I emphasizing? Because there are times when the devil will make us think we don't have enough. He will make us think that we're still lacking from something, right? He'll make us think that there's something else that we need. And it's interesting that the spirit of prophecy said that Adam and Eve had the mildest temptation. Mm-hmm. They had the mildest test. It says the mildest test was given to Adam and Eve that could be given, for there was no need of their eating of the forbidden tree. Everything that their wants required had been provided. In other words, what it is saying is that everything they needed, they had. They had no need of this, yet and still they fell to the devices of the devil, and Satan swallowed them whole. Oh, help me, Jesus. And I ask this question, why are we so greedy? Why do we want more and more? And the more that God gives us, we're not satisfied. That's why when we think about Adam and Eve, we look at them and we have the same temptations. We want more and more. Young people, some of you may have phones. You know, our children go rich these days. They have these expensive phones, right? And then that's not good enough. And they want these expensive games, Xboxes and PlayStations and they want stuff that costs a lot. And even though you give those to them, it's still not enough. They want more and more and more. And they're not satisfied. And they find themselves even crossing over into Satan's territory. Why? Because now they're on these devices for hours and hours. Listen to me, parents. Listen to me, because most of the time it's our fault. Mm-hmm. Most of the time we are letting our children stay on these devices for hours, and Satan is taking control of the mind. And I'm telling you, my boys have money, not because I bought it. They get all these money from Christmas and birthdays. I mean, they get hundreds of dollars. And so they would say, Mom, why can't I get it? You know, they have the first. So I let them buy these things, but I give them a certain number of hours, because do you know now it is a real diagnosis? It is a mental diagnosis that when people are on these games and the phone for hours and hours, it affects your psyche. Did you hear what I said? It is a real diagnosis. And so here, our children are now addicted to these devices, that when you tell them, okay, it's time for church, it's time, you see them getting the attitude, blah, blah, getting angry, right? Because now they have to remove from these devices, and it is an addiction. Here in, I'm still presently living in Virginia until I move up to PA. But in Norfolk, Virginia, there was a 14-year-old young boy who lived with his grandparents. Grandparents taking care of him, providing for him. And he'd done something that his grandparents took away his iPad. I said they took away his iPad. And one day they found the grandparents dead in the house. And when they actually investigated, the main child that they loved and took care of him, the 14-year-old, had killed his grandparents because they took away his iPad. You see what the devil does? He gets us in our psyche, and he controls our minds. And when we think we are safe and we're playing, then he strikes us and swallows us whole. There's the same grandson goes to jail at 14 years old for killing his grandparents. That's why I'm telling you that none of us can resist Satan's plea and him drawing us, right? None of us can fight it on our own. We need the protection plan of God. We need power to resist the devil. I got another. Judas walking around watching Jesus serve the people, right? He's with God wherever they go. And he's watching how compassionate Jesus is to the people. Yet and still, the experience that he had with Jesus was not enough. Listen to me, somebody. Listen to me. Because Judas was around Jesus. He was exposed to the word. He walked with the word every day. But the word was not enough. And so what happened is, when I study about Judas, it said that Judas loved Jesus, but he didn't love Jesus I'm speaking to somebody. I'm speaking to somebody of all ages right now. You may feel that you love Jesus, but you don't love Jesus enough. You see, Judas took care of the monies he was stealing, you know, from the treasury. That still wasn't enough. He had to then sell Jesus out just for a little money. Scholars said it may have been $600 total, just a few days' wages, right? But he sold Jesus out for money and allowed Jesus to be captured and murdered. And I got to tell you that when we make choices, right, against Jesus, you can't live with that thing, right? It will bother you, which is why Judas, his mind couldn't take it, and he committed suicide. You see, the devil will snuggle up to us, right? He will lie with us, right? And pretend to be our friend until the right time when we think we are safe, then Satan attacks. I got another one. Adults. Peter walking with God, one of God's favorite. Wherever they went, it was always Peter, James, and John, right? Always them. And Peter is with God. And Peter is so close to God that he feels he will never turn his back on God. And I'm speaking to somebody today, because any of us can fall. Any of us, the best of us pastors, we can all fall to the tactics of the enemy. Peter thinking he would never do it. And at the point when he thought he was strong, he was at his weakest. And he denied Jesus so much that he didn't want to talk like him. He didn't want to act like him. He started cursing because he wanted to make sure that the people knew he was not even associated with God. What happened? Satan struck and devoured Peter. So God give us his protection plan. Resist the devil, right? How do we resist him? We submit to God. And when we submit to God in our living, in our attitude, in our determination, in the word of God, we learn to abide in him and we grow in God so that his spirit, amen, his spirit would lead us and not our own will. So that's the first thing about God's protection plan. The second thing that the scripture says is to stand fast, right? Stand steadfast, stand faithful. And I want to tell you, Pathfinders, that everything that God is saying to you right now is in your pledge. Amen. It's in your pledge and your law. In other words, God has already told you how to stand steadfast. He says, keep the morning watch, right? When you keep the morning watch, right, you get up, you spend a little time with God, even if it's just 5 minutes, right? A prayer, a scripture, you know, something that helps you to hold on to God. We live in a world where there's so many distractions, and we need God. We need God, adults. Amen. We have to watch and keep the morning watch. We have to stay in tune to God. So learn to spend time with God. Then be a servant of God. What does a servant do? A servant serves God, right? A servant follows God. A servant obeys God. God says, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. What does your law say? I will be a servant to God and a friend to man. So in other words, keep your own law. And then it says, keep a level eye, right? Young people, keep a level eye, right? Keep your mind on Christ. Watch the things of God. Be self-disciplined, self-controlled, amen? You can't do that unless you submit to God. But all that you need, as you continue to recite your pledge, recite your law, be certain to live it, amen? Because when you live it, it is a part of God's protection plan to help you to resist the devil. As we continue to read here, God gives us a rescue plan and a reward when we are faithful to him. When you look at verse 10, it says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after we have suffered a while, we know in this life there will be suffering. And the scripture says, look, not just us, but all of us are suffering, right? With the temptations of Satan, right? With the issues in this life, like the COVID and family members are passing, you're confined to your homes, you can't get out, or you're at risk of even dying when you go around, we can't even go to the church, there is suffering around. But God says, after you have suffered for a while, that Jesus will perfect you. He will establish you. He will strengthen you, and he will settle you. I was looking at the New Living Translation, and I love the way it points out this verse. And it says, in his loving kindness, I love this, in God's kindness, right? God has called us to share in the eternal glory by the means of Jesus Christ, Jesus dying on the cross, right, for us, so that we might share in the glory of God. So that after we have suffered for a little bit, listen, God will restore. He will support us, right? He will strengthen us. And then this verse says, and then he will place us on a firm foundation in Christ. So in other words, God will bring us back after we have suffered, right? After we have gone through, after the devil has torn us down even, after we are beat up in this life as Jesus was, God will restore us from where we have fallen, amen. God will build us up. God will strengthen us, amen, where we have been weak. Isaiah 41 says that God will hold us, right, with his righteous right hand. Mm-hmm. So God will then put us on a firm foundation in him. That's the joy that God says, listen, even though the enemy has his attacks, we have a God who is ever looking out for us. So I want to share with you guys as I close, that the snake wants to devour us whole. And young people, he's lying beside us. He's cuddling beside us because he knows what we're watching. He knows what we're listening to. He knows where we're going. He even knows what we put on those Instagrams. I was looking at some Instagrams of some young people in our church, and they were just cursing back and forth at each other as if it was now their own regular language. Not purity, but language and profanity. And these are the children of the church. And Satan knows that we are attracted to the ways of the world. And so he lures us, right? Seeking whom he may devour. I hope you're getting this message this morning. Satan is seeking to devour us. But God said when he told Peter, be alert, right? Be cautious, because the devil is after you. Who knew that better than Peter? Remember Jesus said to Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Satan wants to devour you, Peter. So Peter's writing to them so that they will know, listen, this thing is real. It is real. It is not a play thing. We must look out for the enemy at all times, for it is the devil who wants to devour us, and he wants to swallow us whole. But I encourage you today, I don't want you to leave thinking about just what Satan can do. I want you to think about what God can do. And no matter what, you can cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you, amen? He cares about your problem, young people. He cares about the things that are hurting you today. And I want to say to you, what's pressuring you? What's causing you to make certain decisions? You know, what's happened to you is what we should ask these days. God says, you can bring me your problems. You can cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. And I want to encourage you to remember the words of God and the pledge of God and the motto of God when he tells you the love of Christ compels us, right? The love of Jesus will compel us. It will drive us, right, to draw near to him, drive us to make good godly decisions. So young people, listen to me, older people, amen. We must remember God's protection plan to resist the devil, right? And then stand steadfast in his word, steadfast in the faith, steadfast in Christ, steadfast in his Holy Spirit, steadfast in all of our decisions. We must stand faithful to God. And when we are faithful to God, God will always be faithful to us. And even as I said, if we should fall by enemies, God will always come after us. Jesus will pursue you until he finds you. And when he finds you, he will then celebrate you. And all of the angels will rejoice in heaven. So even if Satan, we fall to him like Adam and Eve did, like Judas did, like Peter did, even if we should fall, Jesus comes after us. I want to read you one story before I close. You may have heard this story. Two nights ago, a young man named Brandon Bernard was put to death. In 1999, Brandon was 18 years old. You hear me, Pathfinders? 18 years old. He was hanging with a friend who was 19, and he was hanging with three others. It was five of them total. And the other three were less than 18 years old. And they were hanging out this night. They were part of a gang, but Brandon had not joined the gang, but he was hanging out where he was maybe not supposed to be and definitely should not have been. And hanging out that night, they came across a young white couple who were actually youth pastors, youth ministers. And they came across this couple as they were in their vehicle, and they kidnapped the couple and they robbed the couple. And the 19-year-old shot the couple in the head. And then they burned the car because they were trying their best not to have the evidence. But this was in Texas. Now, we know in Texas, the laws are very different for young black men, if you will. And so they caught these young boys, and they were all sent to prison. But the thing about Brandon did not shoot the people, nor did he participate in setting the car on fire. He was just there at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. Oh, listen to me, young people. I'm talking about how the devil will lie with you, and he will wait until you are comfortable, and at the last minute, he will swallow you whole. You see, he's preparing just like that snake that was lying beside that woman. Oftentimes he sees what we're doing and he's just lying in wait, making us think all of the decisions we're making are right. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're reminded of what your parents told you to stay away from, sometimes the devil will make you think you're having such a good time that maybe, you know, your parents had it wrong. Maybe what the pastor preaches is not quite right. Maybe what everybody is telling you, they got this thing wrong because I'm having a good time. I'm out here. I'm enjoying myself. Because Satan wants you to think that you're safe. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me in this place, Jesus. And Brandon, 18 years old, was sentenced to death because he was there. He wasn't the shooter. He was only there. He was considered an accomplice because he did not stop it. And then the prosecutors had the information that Brandon did not participate in these things, but they refused to share it with the jurors. So the jurors sentenced Brandon to death. And when they found out, they tried to change it because over these past 21 years, they were trying to get Brandon off of death row and just to remain in prison. So they went to the various courts, each higher court, even on Thursday night to the Supreme Court, even to the president, who says he's done so much for blacks, but he would not change this young man's course. And Brandon was executed this past Thursday night. Young people, older people, listen. God is warning us in this life, and more so now. Listen, we are living in a time where this is not the time to fall away from Christ. This is the time to draw near to God. This is the time where we need to seek him more. So we can't be face to face, right? And so it's important for us to stay plugged in to midweek service, plugged into special services, plugged into Sabbath services. This is not the time to become weary and get tired of coming on the screen, getting tired of not being able to get around so you don't even look at service. You don't even get plugged in. Satan wants to devour us, right? And he wants to get us to a place where we feel so comfortable that then he will plan the time to devour us and to swallow us whole. But I share with you, God wants to save us, and he will do everything he can to save us. He loves you. He loves you, young people. And let me tell you about Jesus. You know, when I was younger, they would preach all the time, if I did something wrong, I was going to hell. They would preach it all the time. And in my mind said, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. But I wasn't receiving the message so much that Jesus loved me and he was fighting to save me. So I want to share with you that God loves you and he's fighting to save you. And that's why when you go to do something, you will hear a voice that tells you not to do it. When you go to do something, the Holy Spirit is always there to encourage you to do the right thing versus listening to the voice of Satan. And even young people, if you should make a mistake, because I know stories of young people who were pathfinders and they died because they made a bad decision. I know even one recently, a 20-year-old that passed away. But I can tell you that, listen, when we call on God, he will answer. He will draw near and he will rescue. So young people, call on God. Older people, call on God. Resist the devil and stay in Christ. Submit to God and the enemy will flee from you. Now I have an appeal for you, because I too have young boys that I pray for every day. I have to pray so much for my boys. I pray for their safety when they leave home. I pray that they don't get pulled over by the police. I pray that they don't make bad decisions. I pray that they will stay close to God. I pray that they will even honor God when I'm not around. And I'm going to say it to you, young people. Some of you may be struggling. You may be saying, Pastor, you know, I like God, but, you know, I'm not so... I go to church, I'm a pathfinder, yeah, but I don't, you know, some of you, not all of you, some of you, Jesus saves us one by one. If you know you're struggling, and you says, Pastor, I want you to pray for me, I want to draw near to Christ, I want to have that desire to resist the devil, I want to have that desire to submit to God and draw closer to him, I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are. I want you to raise your hand. I want, listen, Jesus is not penalizing you. He just wants to save you. He wants to draw you near to him. If you say, Pastor, I need God, I want to draw near to him as a young person. There are young people who love Jesus. There are young people who want to be in Christ. As a matter of fact, I love baptizing my young. Some people don't want to baptize until they're 12. These young people are smart these days. They can tell you how to work things on the computer better than you can at 7 and 8 years old. So when they can tell me who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them and how they want Jesus, I start baptizing 8, 9, 10, because it's at those years where they're loving Christ. When they get older and they get exposed to sin and they're desiring those things more, they start to fall away from Christ. So young people, even older people, some of you may say, Pastor, I struggle myself. I struggle hanging in with God. The devil is snuggling up to me. You need Christ. I want you to raise your hand too. You say, God, I just want to be stronger. I want to be better in Jesus. I want to do more. I want to do more. I'm going to pray right now. And I pray that you will humble yourselves. And Peter says, humble yourself, so that you can allow God to work in your life, allow God to use you and to grow in you, so that the purpose of his creation for you might be fulfilled. Let's pray. God, I'm so grateful, Lord, that you were able to allow me to preach this word. It wasn't just for the youth, God, the young people. It was for all of us. For Satan, he watches all of us. He's seeking us. He's trying, God, to cause us to fall away from you because he knows he cannot pluck us out of your hands. But if we could make our own wrong decisions and get on his territory and snuggle up to him, God, he knows that he can devour us. But God, I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful that you love us, God, that you're always rooting for us. You're always trying to save us. You don't want any of us to perish, but you want all of us to have eternal life. So on this day, God, we're standing before you because we need you. We need you, God. We need you as young people. We need you as older people. God, we want to remain in you. Teach us, God, how to submit to you daily, how to keep the morning watch, God, to pray and allow you to have our day, allow you to have our life, God, allow you to make our decisions and to help us, God, in everything that we say and do. So, God, I'm here praying for the youth. I'm praying for the young people. Help them, God. You know their vulnerabilities. Help them, Jesus, to remember every word that their parents had taught them about you. Remind them, God, of how much you love them. And then, Lord, I pray for us adults, God. None of us are beyond the attacks of the enemy. And if we think we are, we're just like Peter. And Satan is waiting for that exact time to devour us. But God, let us know that we're all here standing in the need of prayer. All of us are here standing in the need of prayer. God, there may be somebody who wants to allow you to be their God, their Lord and their Savior. And they say, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Pastor, I want to be saved. Pastor, I need Jesus right now. If that is your request, I pray that you pray this prayer with me and then get with Pastor Baxter so that you might be baptized. If that is your prayer, say this with me. God, forgive me for my sins. God, I pray that you will wash away all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Savior. I know it was you who died for me. You are the Son of God who died for me that I might have eternal life. Jesus says, when you pray that prayer and you believe it in your heart that he is the Christ, then you are saved. And so, God, I encourage all of us to submit humbly to you and allow you to be Lord and Savior of our lives. Thank you, God, for this time. Thank you for your word. It was you, God, who brought us this word. Forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I pray that the word of God did something for you. Amen. That word was for all of us. I pray that God did something for you. May you be blessed. May you enjoy your wonderful Pathfinder's Day. Amen. As you continue to celebrate, God bless you. And may the Spirit of God forever be with us all.